you to turn to Galatians chapter 3, and which is our springboard. Passage as we continue in our dissertation, The Glorious Body of Christ, the Church. In addition to that, of course, as you know, we have been in the vein of Colossians chapter 2, and we had moved down to verse 12 and 13, as I said, they are companion scriptures, and as it is brought out, it shows, that is verses 11 and 12, they are companion scriptures, and as has been demonstrated, those two are very closely, amen, conveying the same information, amen. Terminology of circumcision on one hand and baptism, other, both in elements of identification. All right, everyone has Galatians chapter 2, and Ellen Liberman is our designated reader. I'll just read that like you always do, chapter 3, rather. Everyone has the 26th verse of the 3rd chapter of Galatians. Amen. All right, read.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Mm-hmm. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Right now, by the faithfulness of Christ Jesus. That's where we are right now. Amen. We're not trying to be his children. We are his children. Not based upon whatever your condition might be this morning. Amen. What problems you might be facing this morning. Not about that. Amen. This is about what God did in eternity before you were ever created. That's where you are now. Amen. Notice that you read there, and this basically speaking of where we are right now. All right, read.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
We were baptized. We are identified and we were placed in Christ before creation. Amen. Your placement. It's not talking here about any ceremony. All right, read.
There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Has nothing to do with what's going on down here. So that's foolishness to be talking about Jews and Gentiles and Greeks and bond and free, slaves and free men, and male and female. That's nonsense. Amen. This is all about what he did in eternity. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Finish that up.
Verse 29. Mm-hmm. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise.
Again, the promise. You can go back. See what that promise is. Amen. It is the promise that belongs to the Spirit in the 14th verse, that passage. And it is speaking about the Spirit of God as it works through and by, amen, the entirety of God's work in eternity in justifying you and in placing you into Christ. Amen. Oh my God, his promise is so great until it was actuated, it began in eternity, it was actualized in the decree. Amen. What a promise. You know, a promise usually is something that you are given, amen, with the future inference there. Here, amen, is a past complete promise. Y'all don't hear me. Oh my God. We're so blessed this morning. All right, let's move to Colossians chapter 2. And see, this is so important. Amen. And I'm praying that at least those that are in this congregation and that's all amen, that I shouldn't be concerned about as far, not that I'm not concerned about all of God's people, but my first concern is to be those who are part of this ministry, that you learn to dwell in the vertical plane, above all the things that are happening around you. See where we are. No, we're not exempt from anything. It has not pleased God to exempt the ministry to teach you that if you do this, God will do that. I used to hear him say, if you serve the Lord, God will bless all your children and so forth and so on. And then I looked around and I saw some of the saints that were serving God, and some of their children fell off the wagon. Amen. So, there's no set prescription. God has individual plans for individual lives that are already actualized by decree. Amen. As we've said, as we've hopefully brought out to some mindsets in the conference, that time is the creation of God for the purpose of manifestation only. That is, the revelation of those things that God decreed in eternity. And there's nothing that's going down, amen, that God doesn't have any control of, or that is happening on the basis of something that you did or you failed to do. Amen. Not about any of that. Amen. But we must focus and we must prioritize the eternal heavenly sphere where God has actually placed you. Right now, you are a member of the body of Christ, amen, in a glorified position. Manifestation-wise, we're not there yet, amen, but if the actuation of it was in eternity and it is actualized in decree, so, amen, the reality of it is already there. Amen. There's no such thing as something getting interrupted during the process of manifestation. Amen. The only thing that can be manifested is what it actually is. Amen. And what it actually is what God has actually decreed. Oh, my God. All right, let's look at verse 9 to 13. Read that context, and then we'll take up where we were last time we were in to this vein. All right, everybody got Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, Elder Reed.
Colossians 2, verse 9.
Uh-huh.
For him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily,
mm-hmm.
and ye are complete in him,
mm-hmm.
which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Bear it with him in baptism,
my Lord,
wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
And you, being dead in your sins,
mm-hmm.
and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
All right, let the church say amen. At our last outing, remember now, let's focus on verse 11 and 12. And, of course, we had moved down to 12. But you got to take the two verses as one thought conveyance. I like the fact that the King James put a colon behind verse 11, basically to show that it flows into verse 12. Verse 12 is basically giving you some information that is pertinent to verse 11. In verse 11, if you remember, we looked at some words. And let's go and look at these words again. The word circumcised. Amen. if you haven't again, I want you to of course, in the King James, and I don't know why they did that, but here you have an aorist participle, which they translated are circumcised, and it should be were circumcised. Aorist tense is a what? Past completed action. So from the Greek, that should read, in whom also you were circumcised. With the circumcision, and here, draw a circle around circumcision, and then the expression made without hands, in putting off the body of the flesh. Notice I left out of the sins. You can just maybe bracket that if you want to, amen, because it takes away from the inference there of the spirituality of it being a spiritual act of God in eternity, not a physical act in time. Here, this is speaking of spiritual circumcision. Amen. So, when we speak of the cutting off of the flesh, of the sinful flesh, we're talking about the whole gamut of it. Amen. Here, if you read this wrong, you would be lured into thinking that it is saying take the sin out of the flesh. You'll never be able to take the sin out of the flesh. Amen. What this is saying is get rid of the flesh. throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. Get rid of the whole thing. And this is what the Greek adjective for akrirōpō, Pieto, rendered not made with hands, refers to that it's a circumcision that has no relationship to the flesh, and to the body, and to that which is physical. So it is a spiritual circumcision. Spiritual circumcision. Amen. And so it denotes the total exclusion. Amen. Because here it is in Christ's own body by which we are sanctified, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Not the putting off of the foreskin. In circumcision, as it is so delineated in the law, in the writings. So our identification is not a physical, it's not physical by ceremony or rite, by ordinance. It is spiritually in Christ. Everybody say in Christ. When we look at verse 12, amen, moving forward, Elder, I know you got your Greek book, let's go back and do that again, amen. I know on the last item we did, but it's been a couple weeks now, so a week, at least a week or so, a couple weeks, I'm sure, I think it is, yes. Let us... go to, and everyone listen again. We are rapidly looking around, seeing can we find Greek texts. Everyone, amen. And at that point, everyone will be able to follow these readings. But I want you to listen. Put your Put your ears on, as they say in the CB world. For there is a distinct difference in what the interpreters may say and when you are actually getting a rendering from rawly translating the manuscripts without discrimination. All right, hold up, and everybody listen as he's going to read from the Greek text, Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. All right, listen.
Colossians 2, 12, Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Co-bear it with him in the baptism,
mm-hmm.
in whom also ye were co-raised through the faith of the operation of God, raising him from dead.
Mm-hmm. Now, notice here, everything is in the aorist tense. Everything speaks of the actions being done in a prior period. Amen. It speaks not of that which any one of us could have anything to do with. You see, in the 12th verse, if you got a King James there in front of you, bear it with him, basically speaks of the past tenth. Of course, it basically speaks of that which is past, and you're looking back on it. So we can say, having been buried with him in baptism, in whom also, no, they've got here in the King James, you are, and I don't understand that. Again, that is an aorist participle there. You were raised. You were raised. You were raised. Not you are raised. You were raised with him through the faithful energizing of God who raised him out of the dead. When did God do all of this? In time? No. 2,000 years ago? No. Even though that would be a past completed action. Amen. This goes all the way back to the eternal realm. So this verse carries forth, as we had established in verse 11, the same general cogitation. If you will understand that circumcision that was previously mentioned in the 11th verse was not physical, then it logically follows that baptism in the 12th verse is not physical, but it is spiritual. So we have spiritual circumcision in the 11th verse, and we have spiritual baptism in the 12th verse. Amen. In this sense, again, hit a couple of points we had gone back over. Notice the phrase, here we're going to go directly, literally, because we're going up against the stream of those who have established in the mindsets of so many that this has reference to water baptism. It reads, simdav des afto into baptismo, which is rendered, having been buried with him in baptism, spiritually. Mm-hmm. And here it references our identification with the death of Christ. Amen. Again, we have an aorist participle that is in the passive voice. Amen. That which is in the passive voice connotes that which is done to you. If it's active, you did it. If it's passive, it was done to you. Amen. And it is not speaking about somebody performing a baptism. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the baptizer. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And he does not perform any physical ceremony.
Right.
Y'all don't hear me this morning. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Again, when we take having been circumcised and we juxtapose it, we put it side by side and compare it with having been baptized, you have the same connotation. Amen. This is so important to us because when we put things into a physical sense, it places it in the scope of those things that are unstable. And there's one thing that you must understand and have confidence of, and that is the stability of the work of God in your behalf in eternity. In a very stable, perfect environment before time begins. Amen. On your behalf, he identified you, he designated you, he called you out, he marked you, amen. He put his tag, y'all don't hear me, he put his tag on you.
Glory. Yes, thank you, Lord.
It is only those that he identified as such, that he elected, that he chose in him before creation of the world. And that election encompasses the whole gamut of the work of salvation. Amen. I know it is taught that he elected some of them say he elected the church. And then even if you say he elected individuals, and we heartily endorse, the position that he elected individuals, but he didn't stop there. Amen. To say that he elected you in eternity and then he called you in time is to say, amen, that he worked the work of salvation in the sphere of time instead of in eternity. Amen. But when he elected you, that election entailed, amen, every aspect of your salvation. He sanctified you. Amen. He justified. Y'all don't hear me this morning. He did all that was necessary to establish you and place you and position you in him. In Christ means to be fully in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. The importance of that there are just too many things down here in the earthly zone that can go wrong. And they do go wrong. Amen. And this is not where your salvation is positioned. The security of it lies in the fact that it is eternal. And this is really what's meant by eternal security.
Amen.
Amen. It is secure because it's eternal.
Glory.
Amen. And because it's eternal, it's secure.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise his name. And so you have to line these two up. If you don't put this verse 12 into the spiritual sphere and realm, it's going to cause problems, amen, with what follows in this verse. Amen. When you look at the word sindaphnes, having been buried with, and you started talking about being buried with, and then you look at, amen, the essence of baptismo, and you said, well, then, what does it mean being buried with in baptism. Now, amen, because you are operating in the physical zone, you got big time problems. Because now you got to come up with some explanation as to what buried with in baptism has reference to. And if you're in the physical realm, you got problems. You got real problems here. Note, the essence of having been buried with, as we look at this word, having been buried with, that is seen doubtful as, it is the participle form. Follow me now. Participle is a what? It is a verb or adjective. Huh? It is an action word that also describes. This is the form of the actual Greek word synthapto. And here when we look at synthapto, bury, it is derived from sing and thapto. It literally means to bury with. To bury with. As it is in this context, if you place it where it belongs, and that is in the spiritual realm instead of the physical realm, you can see it conveys the meaning to be identified with, to identify with in burial. Follow me now. We must settle on the fact that the major component here, as expressed in this context, is identification between two entities, namely Christ and those of us who belong to him. This relationship resides in the sphere of his death and burial. This identification is the product of God, and that it is a sovereign act of God based upon the essence of his body in regards to sin, which was put to death with the accomplishment of Christ and permanently buried. Amen. And of course, if you do not have the understanding of the spirituality of this rather than the physicality of it, amen, you are trying to explain something that happened in time that is unexplainable because it happened in eternity. And then when you get to Romans chapter 6, you got problems trying to explain verses 3 to 5. Amen. As these verses of Romans 6, chapter 6, verses 3 to 5, they are concomitant passages of Scripture, and they mutually enforce truth in corroborating the message of identification in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we must understand that that which happened 2,000 years ago is the manifestation of what God accomplished in eternity. For the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 13 in 8. Now, those who recognize that they have been spiritually identified with Christ's death can benefit. These are the benefits. Knowing we are not under the confines of sin. This is the real significance of baptism as it is clarified in the spiritual nature. There's no way you're going to solve the problems around you, or you're going to walk free of the problems around you, amen, if you are still wrestling with salvation. Whatever you think about salvation works its way all the way down into life. Amen. If you shake about salvation, then if you think you still have the problem of salvation, the problem of salvation, rather, is not solved, amen, there is no, amen, hope of solving any other problem. Huh?
So this is the way that it works. Now, looking at terminology, follow me here. The basic Greek word vapto is rendered bury. Follow me. It refers to the interment of the dead. As it does not depict covering something or someone with soil or water, even though the English has been broadened to express this conception. Got problems now. Listen to me closely. The basic Greek word thapto, it is written bearer. It refers to the interment of the dead. It does not depict covering something or someone with salt and water. The English usage of this word has been broadened to express this conception. Let that sink in for a while. As we look at this passage here, the Greek word synthapto is comprised of seeing prefix to thapto in consigning the meaning with. Follow me here. Accordingly, the inference that can be drawn by association is that believers were buried with Jesus in his physical death burial. Amen. But of course, we know that's not true. Not in the physical sense. I don't think anybody walk around here saying, you know, that we're buried into Christ's physical burial. Amen. And so, someone has a whole lot of explaining to do. Amen. This is why we must take it and leave it in the spiritual sense. For when we do that, amen, then it basically states we are identified with his death and burial. It is very important for us to understand understand our apperception with Jesus Christ's burial as implies an earlier predetermined identification with his death in the eternal realm. I think I'll repeat that. Our apperception,
yes,
with Jesus Christ's burial, our association with it, our relationship with this burial implies an earlier predetermined identification with his death. Your relationship and identification with him is applied or is applicable to an predetermined marking out and designating of you as a son of God. You identified now because you were identified in eternity.
Thank you. Glory. Yes. Thanks.
You are saved now because you were saved in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
You are justified now because you were justified in eternity. Every identification or aspect of your salvation must go back to eternity. You are because of who you were. This is what this is teaching us. Now, this is to give not only some stability, but some confidence in who we are and what we are. Because sometimes we have big time problems. No, when we passed out something today, I hope everyone has it, the Sunday school lesson. I want to just pull it out for a second. Amen. And if someone doesn't have it, raise your hand and ask one of the ushers to bring it to you. It's in the back. It's in the back. Amen. Here, the focus is on Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. And see, you're going to always be confused unless you separate the eternal workings of God in obtaining your salvation in eternity versus the manifestation of it in time. The actual attaining of it is when it is actualized by the creed. And what is happening in time is only a manifestation of it. And this is going to be so important that when you get into the crisis of life, amen, you can project up into the vertical plane of where God has placed you from eternity. Somebody said, well, no, that's like sticking your head in the sand like an ostrich. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Was not. Paul knew exactly where he was. He's writing some of these epistles. He's in jail. And there's a death sentence, a pending death sentence hanging over his head. He knows what's going on. Amen. But that's not his greatest concern. It reads, everybody turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I know it's going to take me several. You know, no use to be rushing through this. You've got to understand and appreciate what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. And no, we're not walking around here spaced out to high on some drug. Amen. This is real stuff. This is more real than whatever you think you're going through. Amen. Your position in Christ is more real than your position as a citizen of this, amen, country. A resident of this world. Amen. Remember, you are physically in this world, amen, but spiritually you're not of this world.
Amen. Yes.
Somebody's going to need this. Because there's no guarantee of the things that may come or might come. Amen. As we look at the news, we saw all kind of things going down. Amen. Some of it can be downright terrifying if you don't understand this.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Most of us think of our pensions, and we look at our pensions in regards to it being secured. Amen. Ask the workers of United Airlines this morning how much security is there in a pension.
Uh-huh.
Amen. And I'm praying, you know, for them. I hate to see that happen. But God's speaking to us, but we're not listening. And so those of us who are sitting here and you say, well, I'm secure because I've got this General Motors or this Ford pension. Amen. Don't put your confidence in that.
Amen.
All it takes is some crazy judge to tell a corporation, amen, that you can walk away from that. Some of us work for the state. Amen. Don't get tied up in that. Amen. You know, some judge can rule that they can take a pass on it. What you think they're going to do? They'll take a pass on it. So, amen. But God is speaking to us to let us know. Amen. Don't put your confidence in anything other than the fact, amen, that I have established you and placed you in the only secure place in existence, for you are a member of the body of Christ. You better wake up this morning and hear this message. Now here Paul, amen, is speaking positionally where he is. All right, everybody got Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Say amen. All right, Elder, just read 20 and 21. Oh, I wish I had time to go up above and grab a couple of those verses. Amen. But we're progressing through, and I'm trying to get through this document. Amen. After I take a little rest, I'm going to come back, and we're getting into another vein of ministering to you. Amen. But we got to get through this first. So I'm not so much interested in getting through this, and you don't get it though. You know, just to go through something, to end up on page 50, and you don't know the context in front of it. Amen. Yeah, it means you're not going to get that either. All right. Verse 20 from the King James, read it.
Galatians 2, 20 through 21. You from the KJV?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am crucified with Christ.
See, they do it every time. Every time. That doesn't read like that. That doesn't read like that. That should be I have been. But anyway, read it anyway.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
I do not frustrate the grace of God.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
All right. Take your Greek. I want you to read it wrong. And y'all wonder why we go into the Greek and we go into the grammar and we start breaking this thing down. Because we want to know what is actually conveying. We want to know the actual intended cogitation of it. Not what some interpreter has said or some commentator has said. See, and Bible study is not Bible commentary reading. You know, be careful what commentaries you read. Amen. All right? Just listen closely. He's going to read it just like it is, out of sequence as far as the way we flow things. Read it, as I said, read it wrong. Read.
Okay.
Everybody listen.
Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
And live no more I,
mm-hmm.
but lives in me Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And what now I live in flesh, by faith I live of the Son of God.
Okay, now notice here, he left out, I have been crucified. In some of the critical text manuscripts, they have placed that in verse 19. I'm under the impression, I feel position-wise, my humble opinion is that that belongs in verse 20. So, Elder, go back up there into verse 19 and pick up, I have been crucified.
With Christ I have been.
With Christ.
Okay.
With Christ, I'm sorry.
Right. With Christ.
With Christ.
I have been, say, co-crucified.
Uh-huh.
and live no more I, but lives in me Christ.
And that's because you must look and realize that this is in the spiritual sense. You weren't physically there on the cross with Jesus when he was crucified, were you? Huh? No, we're not. No, no. So this must be in a spiritual sense, right?
Amen. Yes.
I mean, I don't know of anyone. Yeah, there were two thieves, but they weren't actually with him.
No.
They were physically there, but they weren't. Amen. They were not. What he was representing is what he did in eternity. And the thieves weren't there because nobody was there. Huh?
Amen.
Right.
So what was really being manifested, they had no part of it.
Amen.
Amen.
And you and I have no part except through identification. Except through identification. Read that.
Verse.
Mm-hmm. Again. Okay. With Christ.
With Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I have been co-crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And live no more I.
What is Paul talking about? Because when he's writing this, he's physically living, isn't he? Even though, you know, not long after that, a few years, amen, he was executed. But when he was writing that, he's living. Yet he said, that's not where I live.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean that's not where you live? He said in the physical sense.
Amen.
He said, my life is what I have identified with,
mm-hmm.
not what I'm manifestly locked into.
Mm-hmm. Glory.
Because on any given day, you can be manifestly locked into
Amen.
Just about anything.
Yes.
But you got to realize that's not where you live.
Come on.
That's it.
That is an event, a manifestation in a time that does not impact the actuality of what God has done for you in eternity.
Oh.
That doesn't impact your position that was actualized by decree in eternity. No event in time can impact or change or alter what God has done for you in eternity.
Glory.
That's important.
Amen.
Because we don't know what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the news, some everything is happening.
Everything. Amen.
Hmm? The Russian currency. Amen. It's shut up. And if it continue to go up against the dollar, that's going to force Russia
mm-hmm.
to abandon it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And guess what you think they may do? Yeah, they may adopt the euro.
Glory.
Which is bad news. And they got to do something because their desire is to, and I'm talking a little world, I started to say history. Yeah, it's history from the standpoint of actuation. I'm talking, amen, a little world current news now. In order to join the World Trade Organization, they got to do something. And so all of this stuff is lining up. And as everyone jumps off the ship, they say, well, we got England. Yes, as long as you think you've got Tony Blair. But his party want to get rid of him now. So as everyone begins to line up together, they're going to beat on the dollar. Your dollar. Your money. Which impacts the economic stability of this country. Now, why am I saying all this? Because I'm not here to talk about current events. But it is to get us and confidence in things that are physical and in the sphere of creation in time that are changeable. But to place your confidence in the essence of eternity, where everything like God is immutable. Unchangeable. If you want security, don't look at anything around you. Don't do that. I beg you not to. I'm not only speaking, yes, all that hear my voice, but I'm more concerned by those who are part of this congregation. Amen. Because we don't know what's down the road. We don't know what's on the horizon. God has not chosen to reveal it unto us. No, not even this pastor. But I say to you what the scripture is saying. Don't live there. Don't dwell there. Yeah, occupy, but don't live there. That's not you. Where you live is where your residence is.
Glory.
Amen. Where your stock is. Where your confidence is. Amen. Where you stake everything concerning your existence will be. And it cannot be in time. It must be in eternity.
Yes.
So Paul says, read that. Give me about 10 minutes. We might run over just a little over this morning. Amen. Read that.
Verse 20. And live no more I.
Uh-huh.
But lives in me Christ.
Uh-huh.
And what now I live in flesh, by faith I live of the Son of God, loving me and giving up himself on behalf of me.
See, look at that. Here's the more even flow of reading, the way that we arrange words in English. I have been crucified with Christ. It's there. Look at the document. And I myself no longer live. Sounds like a crazy man, doesn't it? But no, he's not. And you won't turn on the television or radio and hear anyone trying to explain this.
No way.
And it's probably good. Huh? Because unless you go to the elevated vertical plane of eternity, there's no way to explain this.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ lives in me.
Amen.
And the life that I live in the flesh, how do I live? So I live by the faithfulness of God who loved me and gave himself to me in the flesh. My life is all about Christ and what he has done.
Amen.
It's not about what's happened around me. Now, he's not saying he's not in the world. He's saying he's not of the world. Note here and read with me the antecedent verses, conveyances are concerning the elect's death, a separation from the law. This is basically what the context here. Verse 20 phrase, crucified with Christ, obviously references one being identified with Christ in death, pertaining to the fact that those in Christ are dead to the law. Here it references Romans 7 and 4. In essence, every believer, according to God's purpose, was crucified with in Christ in eternity. And this is the only way to explain Romans chapter 6 verses 3 to 6. In this sense, it logically follows that those having been crucified with or in Christ by identification, those who by identification are crucified in Christ no longer could possibly have any relation to the law or anything as far as your salvation is concerned, except the eternal work of Christ. This is vividly illustrated by the apostle's personal statement, Christ lives in me, referencing 2 Corinthians 4 and 10. Paul's testimony is that the old Saul, once ignorantly under the auspices of the law, but here this is enlightened Paul, who is a member of the body of Christ. Paul's former life under the law was by sight on a physical plane. And it's sad to say this morning, this is where a lot of God's people are. We're on the physical plane. We're no better than the world. We're no different from the world, I should say. We're no different from the world. We think physical. We act physical. The physical things around life is what moves us, what effectuates us, where our, amen, trust and confidence is. That's true. But he now lived his new life in Christ. And you can live in Christ. Right now, we can live in Christ. That's not where most of us are living, but you can live. You ain't gotta wait. You don't have to wait to heaven until you live in Christ. Right now, you can live in Christ. And it is because of the faithfulness of the Son of God. In other words, as we look at this, Paul lived by the faith that belonged to the Son of God, of the faithfulness of Jesus, which through his identification was graciously imparted to him by Christ himself. Ephesians 2 and 8 and 1 Timothy 1 and 14. Give me about 2 minutes here. In God's sovereign purpose, he extended faith to his elect, that is to us, both in the manifestation of salvation, but also in daily living. In daily living. Identification with Christ is profitable in daily living. Identification with Christ is your only confidence for daily living. Identification with Christ is your only hope for daily living.
Yes.
Identification with Christ is your only happiness for living.
Glory to God. Yes.
Oh my God.
Amen.
It is solely because of this purpose that God's people exercise and utilize this faith.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith is not there for you to get what you want. It's they got this thing all mixed up. It's there for you to abide in the essence of what Christ has designed for you. The grace of God. I'll take this up next week. But in this other passage, Paul is in prison. And the death sentence is hanging over his head. And he's not concerned about what's going on. No, his main thought was, I want the testimony of whatever happens to me to glorify and magnify Christ. That Christ may be magnified. That Christ may be magnified. Now, I know this doesn't seem real to some. This doesn't seem practical to some. This doesn't seem what we should be doing. But, oh, my God, it is not based upon that or what you think or what you feel or what it seems like or what the majority is doing. Amen. Manifestation doesn't determine truth. Truth doesn't come through manifestations many times. Many times things are given and they are done and we don't know what's going on. We don't understand. And the actual thing what's happening is not based upon it being manifested. Because a lot of things God has not chosen to manifest. But truth is not based upon manifestation. But it is based upon the essence of what God has decreed. And so when you started speaking of fact, you're talking about decree. If you say it is indicative mood in the grammar, you're talking about a fact. I mean, there's no way to have an indicative future or a future fact except it is tied to God's decree. Glorification, that's a future fact. How can you say it's a fact and it hasn't happened? It has happened. It hasn't been manifested, but it has been actualized, so it has happened. And we got to understand that. And we may go through this another couple of more outings before we move out of this. And I'm going to take my time, amen, because I see too many of God's people somewhere licking their wounds and miserable. I want you to also make sure you read the introduction in the Sunday school lesson. It's basically speaking a word we can dwell. What this truth does for us. And where it places us. Because you know where you are? You are where your mind is. That's where you are. That's where you are. You are wherever your mind is. And if you are not identified with Christ, you're in a terrible place and a terrible position. It is in Him. Everybody say in Him.
Yes.
That's the essence of what existence is all about. We'll take this up next week. Yeah, I guess I left you like the chapter picture hanging again. Amen. That's good. Maybe some that are here today will make sure you come back next Sunday. All right. God bless you.